sailing farther and farther away. Could Piglet have thought to use the honey as bait? The stranger asked. That was it, bait. Piglet had carried the heavy jar all the way from their house to here. But where is Piglet? Pooh asked. Could the half a lump have... The stranger smiled. And leave the honey? What right-minded half-a-lump would do that? Piglet must be around here someplace. He must have grown tired and looked for a place to rest. I'm sure if we look, we'll find him. Come along, Pooh. But Pooh did not move. The stranger paused, frowning again. What is it now? Pooh indicated the jar. Maybe we should take that along just in case the half-a-lump is there. The stranger nodded, the small bud of a smile appearing on his thin lips. Certainly, Pooh, take the jar. It's most wise of you to think of that. A heffalump can be a terrible beast from what I hear. Pooh picked up the jar and moved along with the stranger down the path. The jar grew heavier and heavier by degrees, and Pooh's want for a little something more acute by degrees. Oh, bother, Pooh said to himself. I don't suppose a little taste of something would hurt anything. Again the stranger paused. And what about the heffalump? Oh, bother. You don't think a heffalump would notice a little missing, do you? The stranger shook his head doubtfully. Well, I don't suppose he would. And even as he said this, there was a shimmer of joy in the old man's eyes. They stopped, settled on another cropping of stones, as Pooh lifted the sticky lid to his prize. A fingerful quickly turned into a pawful, then to half a jar. Oh, my. Oh, my, Pooh said, seeing the dent for the first time. A drip of honey hung from the tip of Pooh's nose. The stranger smiled as Pooh sighed. I suppose half a jar is better than nothing at all. So after a while, they started again to walk. The jar was much lighter at first, but quickly grew heavier and heavier until Pooh could not tell the difference between the half jar and the full one that he had carried earlier. The effort, too, made him exceedingly hungry. He paused once more and looked up at the stranger. You don't suppose the jar could have gotten itself full again, do you? Pooh asked, eyeing the jar with some suspicion. I wouldn't think so, Pooh, the stranger sighed, but perhaps you'd better check. You really think I should? Pooh asked, licking the last of the old honey from around his mouth. How will you know if you don't look? So down they sat again, Pooh removing the lid from the found jar and examining the interior. The level looked just about right for half a jar. It seems the same, Pooh said to himself, but couldn't quite remember what a half a jar should look like. Perhaps you should measure it with your paw, Pooh, the stranger said, just to be sure. Pooh said, then did so, his paw gathering much of the liquid as it sank to the bottom, liquid that had to be licked off the paws at the paw's removal. Oh, bother, Pooh said. It's just the same. But again and again, Pooh had to stop, the jar having grown so heavy as to make him suspicious, and each time he dipped his paw in to check, each time the liquid seemed just the tiniest bit less. Isn't that odd? Pooh said. What's odd, Pooh? Oh, that the jar should grow heavier and heavier while what's inside grows less and less. Pooh licked his paw and replaced the lid on the nearly empty jar. The stranger only smiled. Hello, a voice said, coming out of nowhere, like the stranger's head had earlier echoing around them. Pooh and the stranger stopped and exchanged glances. Hello, hello, the voice came again. Pooh turned around and round, but no one was there. Oh, bother, he said. The stranger scratched his head. Hello, hello, I know someone is there. Dirt is falling down on me, the squeaky voice said. Are you a heffalump? No, Pooh said carefully. Are you? Hello, it's me. Me? Pooh said. Me who? Me, Piglet. Piglet, Pooh whispered, looking up at the stranger for confirmation. Piglet was certainly a small fellow, as Pooh remembered him, but hardly so small as to escape Pooh's attention. Had he shrunk? Or was this some plot designed by the heffalump to capture them? Do you think the heffalump is trying to fool us? Pooh asked. Perhaps, the stranger said, amused. Perhaps if you hold out the jar of honey. Oh, bother, Pooh said, lifting the empty jar. pots, half lumps were found of jars that had once had honey in them, he thought, then held the jar straight out. He walked forward one slow step at a time, but even this precaution did not help him when he came to the hole in the ground, for with the jar held out just the way it was impossible for Pooh to see the hole, and the very next step found him falling into that hole. He landed with a thump in his head in the heavy jar, the jar slipping over his head somehow in the fall, leaving him in the dark as to just what had happened. He wasn't totally aware of the jar over his head, just the strong scent of honey which had him blinking this way and that, and thinking, too, how unfair it was to drop him into a place where the smell of honey was strong, but he couldn't see. Something squirmed under him. "The heffalump! The heffalump!" Piglet squealed, pushing and pulling at the bulk of the silly bear, who still looked around, lost. "Piglet? The heffalump!" Piglet said again. "Are you two all right down there?" the stranger asked from above. "Down where?" Pooh asked. "You fell into a hole." It was then that Piglet squealed even louder. "I found the heffalump! I found the heffalump!" The stranger laughed. "I think, Piglet, that the heffalump has found you." "Oh, oh!" Piglet said, squirming again, not quite clear of the bulk of Pooh. "Owl will be proud of me. I found the heffalump." "Who will I be proud of?" Owl asked, his wings fluttering as he landed beside the stranger at the mouth of the hole. Rabbit hopped out from the woods beside him, foot thumping madly. "What's with the hole in the ground?" Rabbit asked. "Another house for me?" "One is enough, thank you. Now, what are we supposed to come see?" "I found the heffalump," Piglet cried up. "A heffalump?" Owl hooted. "Where?" "Down here, down here." "Preposterous." "I disagree," the stranger said, smiling. "It's quite possible. For you see, this hole was dug a long time ago by Pooh for just such a purpose, and I do believe Piglet has caught his prey." "Oh, dear," the rabbit said, foot thumping harder. "Well," Owl said a bit too proudly, "I suppose this clears up just who is leader and who is not." "Oh, dear. Oh, dear," Rabbit repeated then snidely. "We shall see." Pooh, meanwhile, struggled below, trying with all his might to dislodge the jar which he just discovered had somehow gotten over his head. But try as he would, the jar would not move, for it had lodged against his jaw and hurt each time he yanked. He was confused, too, not really knowing just what he had fallen into or upon. Piglet's voice sounded strange and distant through the thick shell of the jar, and all this talk of heffalumps had him quite disturbed. "Oh, bother," he said again, wishing that he had his bright and blustery day back, which was much nicer than the close smell of honey and dirt. And although he did love honey, there were limits to even what a Pooh Bear could endure. Dirt was the worst part, creeping up into his nose and threatening to make him sneeze. "Hello," he said, testing his voice, his words coming back at him twice as loud as he spoke them. "I do believe that I'm going to sneeze. Oh, bother. Oh, bother." He said this in a much lower voice, so that even Piglet, who squirmed and squirmed beneath him, could not hear, or the heffalump that Pooh could almost picture right then, hovering above him. Owl spoke again. Pooh knew it was Owl. He recognized Rabbit, too, and Piglet. But when the stranger spoke, a chill went through him, because for the first time, Pooh could almost put a face to that voice. Not the old wrinkled face that grinned down at Pooh when the silly bear sang, but a younger one, smaller, without wrinkles at all. "Okay, heffalump," Piglet squealed, poking Pooh in the rump. "You can get up now." "Up?" For the first time, too, Pooh realized that the heffalump wasn't up there with the others like he had thought, but down here where he and Piglet had fallen. How dreadful! Or was it? Pooh always wished that he could get a glimpse of the creature. The jar on his head was simply bad luck. For you see, of all the times the heffalump had chosen to visit, this was the worst. Piglet, of course, had been lucky enough to see the creature on each of its previous visits. Pooh had not. And here might have been Pooh's last chance to see the incredible creature. Surely one little peek wouldn't hurt anything. But try and try as hard as he could, the jar would not budge from his head. "Hold still, Pooh," the stranger said, reaching down into the hole to lift the creature out. Then with a tug, the jar came loose and it was day again, bright and blustery and clear. Pooh took a deep breath of air and immediately missed the scent of honey, for honey was Pooh's terrible weakness. Rabbit, owl, tigger, Pooh cried, seeing the collection of creatures at his side, all of them with concern for Piglet on their faces. Then the stranger reached down and produced a slightly ruffled Piglet himself. Piglet on his face looked around and blushed a little. Piglet, Pooh cried, it's you. But nowhere to be seen was there any sign of a heffalump. Now that all of us are here, orated Owl, fluttering his feathers back, looking over the crowd that had gathered around him with wide-open eyes, I think the time has come for an election. No, no, Rabbit said, his foot thumping rather hard now. We'll have none of that here. We should have what? Pooh and Piglet asked at the very same time. Then both looked at each other and blushed with embarrassment. They want you to decide between them, the stranger said. You see, they both want to be your leader. Hmm, said Eeyore from just outside the immediate circle of friends. That seems like a good idea. What makes you think so? Snapped Rabbit. At least then we'll have someone to blame when things go wrong. But what do we need leader for? Piglet asked. Why, Owl fluttered, to make things work. To organize, put in Rabbit. To lead, hooted Owl, not to be outdone by Rabbit. To command, shouted Rabbit back, till both he and Owl were yelling back and forth, paying little attention to anyone else. Silence! A hush fell over the forest, and all the creatures turned toward the stranger from whom the command had come. Even Rabbit and Owl kept their peace, eyeing each other with obvious distaste. Then, when the stranger had their attention, he coughed slightly and smiled, for he seemed to care about each and every one of them very much. I think you should have a leader, too, he said, making Owl flutter his feathers with pride and Rabbit angrily tap his foot. But I think your leader should be Pooh. Pooh! Screeched Owl. That's absurd! Ridiculous, agreed Rabbit. He couldn't take command or leader. He has no brain, Owl interrupted. Which is exactly why we should appoint him, the stranger said calmly. What? Yelped Rabbit. Outrageous, moaned Owl. I vote for Pooh, Piglet shouted. Me too, echoed Roo. The stranger smiled, his wrinkled face losing some of its age. So there you have it, he said, lifting the pudgy bear to his shoulder. Two votes for Pooh, which is one more than either of you two have. Now, if you were to pull your votes, then we would have a tie. That would force us to hold another election. Of course, this would mean that one of you would have to give up his ambition. Well, Rabbit, how about giving your vote to Owl? Never, Rabbit snapped without looking at Owl. And you, Owl, won't you give your vote to Rabbit? Surely with your mind you must think even Rabbit is better than Pooh. Preposterous, quoted Owl. And so, Winnie the Pooh became leader. No brain, not wanting to command, which of course made him perfect for the job. Come, Pooh, the stranger said after the celebrations were over. Pooh took the stranger's hand and walked beside him. Where are we going? Pooh asked, tired, wanting nothing more than to go back to his and Piglet's house and rest. He was, for the first time in a very, very long time, quite content. Happy, too, that his friends were friends again. To a special place. Oh, was all that Pooh could think to say. The stranger hummed a little and sang in a low voice. Pooh didn't, but walked in silence. For somehow he remembered the path that took them, that they took from another similar journey. Is this the enchanted place? Pooh asked, without really knowing just where the question had come. The stranger smiled. Yes, Pooh. He said it and began to climb. It wasn't a long walk or a difficult climb, but each walked with a certain reluctance that always comes with memory. In Pooh, those memories took the form of feelings. He knew the place. He knew how he felt in that place. He simply didn't know why he felt that way. The stranger, however, seemed to know everything about the place, as if he had retraced his steps here a million times in his life. Regretting that first and unforgettable journey, each of those 60-odd trees representing a year since he'd seen them last. A gentle snow began to fall, covering the ground, filling in their footprints as they passed. Look, Pooh said, pointing to those disappearing tracks. Seemed as if they had both walked out of nowhere into nowhere and stood at the knoll, staring back at their invisible world. For Pooh, there was a feeling that something important was passing between them, just as it had passed between them their last time here. Do you remember when Christopher Robin knighted you, Pooh? The stranger asked. Pooh shook his head. The stranger seemed disappointed. He shook his head, too, and swallowed hard, age descending upon his shoulders again, making him seem that much older. You made a promise, Pooh. Surely you remember that. But Pooh remembered nothing except for the feeling, and that grew in him like pain. He shook his head again. Oh, the stupidity of it all, the stranger shouted out at the snow, his voice muffled in the shroud, sounding younger than it should have been. Again, Pooh was struck by the voice's familiarity. Pooh knew that voice. How damned unfair all this is. I know they said you could never come back, but I had to try and succeeded only to have no one remember me. I remember you, Pooh said softly, and the stranger's head turned abruptly toward the bear. You do? Pooh nodded. It was the voice that gave it all away. I'm tired, Pooh, the stranger said, leaning back against one of the trees, allowing himself to slide down the bark. The cane fell into the snow beside him unnoticed. He hung his head slightly. I'm tired, Pooh, he said again, and damn glad to be home. Pooh nodded gravely and sat down beside the stranger. Christopher Robin was home at last and would never go away again.
Everyone has gone away. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? No one cared enough to stay. Everybody.
Art Garfunkel singing a Randy Newman song called Old Man. Before that, a marathon reading, I had no idea it was going to go quite as long as it did, of the next to last lost manuscript of Winnie the Pooh found in the vault of Walt Disney, hidden all these years out of jealousy, where Winnie the Pooh meets the stranger Eeyore, Rabbit, Owl, Piglet, Tigger, and goes to the enchanted place at least one more time. That's the title of it, and that was written by a wonderful guy named A.D. Sullivan, who I'm hoping will be here next week on the Tuesday Morning Show, which is coming up in just about 11 minutes. And you know something? I don't have to get kicked out by the morning man, because I am the morning man.